Hi, Galina. Thank you so much for joining me today on the Event Mind podcast. Welcome to the show.
Hello. Glad to be here.
Yeah, it's good. It's been a long time coming. I don't meet too many kind of technical producers on the kind of virtual event side at the moment, and so it's brilliant whenever I do. And you and I kind of we were part of the same event, weren't we, a couple of months ago, and you were really helpful and took care of the technical side of things. So just introduce yourself to our listeners, please.
My name is Galina Rin. I am based in London, Londinium. I am the technical manager for the Upper Norwood Library Hub. I'm also the technical manager for a theatre production company called Disentangle Projects. And I'm the only human in the band Death and Gloria, where I create rock music, comic art, animations, and now live streams.
Yeah, brilliant. Thank you. And I love it when we have interesting people on the show. So, you know, I think your perspective is quite interesting. You know, you do work for the library and you're in a band, you know. So tell me a little bit about how you found the transition, if there even was one, you know, pre-COVID to now when it comes to kind of technically producing virtual events. How did you get into that and how have you found it?
Yeah, so I had always, for the last year and a half, I have been planning to make career live streaming part of my band's objectives. So because I'm a single human in a rock band, essentially, when I play live, I sound like a full rock band and it's all about my projected animations. So it actually works quite well for Twitch and things like that. So I had been working slowly towards becoming a career live streamer. And then when COVID hit, I was basically in a weird bubble where I was pretty much technically set up to go full live streamer, but I didn't have an audience on Twitch. I didn't really have an audience anywhere because I hadn't really started it. I'd been live streaming every Wednesday night to my own fans of Death and Gloria Facebook page.
Right.
That was behind a wall. So I'd been like just honing skills and getting all the tech stuff sorted out over that. So when this all happened, I was just able to turn on the switch and just start live streaming every day. So since lockdown, I have live streamed pretty much every morning. The time has changed until we've got into a groove, but it's basically 11 a.m. I do a thing called morning sessions, and it's spelled MournIng, and it's basically songs. Like I do two acoustic songs and we do a bit of chat and it takes about 20 minutes. It started off on Facebook, but it's back on Twitch. It's kind of a mix between the two, but we can go into that later. And then just got into a routine of doing that. And at the same time as that, on the library side, I started live streaming the stuff that would have been in the library anyway. We started our live stream channel, our community live stream channel, pretty much on the day of lockdown, because that was their first live stream, was the night of lockdown, because singing class, they didn't want to meet each other, obviously, because it's an intergenerational singing group, basically. So they decided to do live stream on the first night of lockdown, and then we started a daily show, which is called The Library Lunch, where we Monday to Friday at 12 o'clock for half an hour, we interview people in our hyper-local area, which is Crystal Palace, on the Triangle mostly. We have branched out now to other things, but basically letting folks know where the services are and who's providing, which shops are open, all that kind of stuff. So yes. That still continues now and will hopefully still continue into the future. But before this, I was an event manager, technical manager for the library. So I worked in PAs and lights, and I taught myself DMX lighting the year before for a theatre production that came into the library. So we had set up with lots of stage lighting and stuff like that anyway. And I also hosted, I work in alternative nightclubs, is probably the most PC way of saying the word. And I would host some, and then I would stage manage some, and do some technical stuff, lighting and stuff for them, and then also just like event staff management. And I've worked in events since I was like probably at college. It was probably when I started working in events, and I have been everything from a tour manager for big bands to, you know, like a cleaning manager at the O2 when it opened. I was responsible for opening that venue as the cleaning manager at Wembley Arena and all sorts of stuff. So I've come from live events basically, and it's very easy. If you're a stage manager especially, I think it's a very easy thing to then just flip it on its head and go into live stream production. So basically, on the day of lockdown, when all my work fell out the window, I just started working in live streams. I just moved immediately to live streaming because I kind of wanted to do that anyway. I really want to move out of London, you know, and so I need to earn money that's not London based.
Yes,
essentially. So I just flipped it all on its head, and I've made every mistake going. I've broken cameras. I've like just lost entire live streams because I've tried to do too much.
Yeah,
with a bad setup. I have moved from one computer setup to four computers for a live stream that I did, and that was unnecessary. So I moved back to just like having two, you know. I have, anyway, we can go into that as well. I'm sure lockdown has not been good to, well, I know lockdown hasn't been good to loads of people, but for someone who just wanted to sit at home and make music and just do her thing, it has been amazing for me.
Yeah.
I'm a freelancer and I only work part-time for the library, and, you know, they don't pay me like going rate for technical stuff.
Yes.
You know, it's the charity's rate. So it doesn't pay very much at all. But, you know, at the end of the day, that PAYE, that tiny, teeny, tiny piece of PAYE sustained me over lockdown because I was furloughed for a good chunk of that. So that just kept the wolf from the door as far as we were concerned. And then because I was doing stuff for the library, you know, doing volunteering, and when I got furloughed, so we couldn't raise money for them, I couldn't really be on screen or whatever. I could only just volunteer a minimal amount of time to the library. But because of that, I've got clients. I've got live stream clients now that, you know, that's how we met, was through one of those clients. We're not in a position where that's making a lot of money, but, you know, I have two paying clients that are outside of the library stuff.
That's brilliant.
Furlough now as well. So, we've got a huge Arts Council funded project, which we can talk about as well. That is all live stream based. And it's all because we live streamed when other people weren't
doing it.
I basically just walked into the office the day that we knew lockdown was going to come. And I'm like, we are live streaming from here on in. And okay. You know, whatever, you go do whatever you want. Love.
Let's talk about that, actually. Yeah. So, you know, cause you, basically been a live stream enthusiast right before it became an absolute necessity. What has the response been? Because I think a lot of event managers are in situations where they can see the potential of live stream, but of course they're managing maybe attitudes and norms within their organizations where either they're not tech savvy or they don't really understand live stream or virtual events and how they can capitalize on them. How have you kind of, I guess, explained or won some of your colleagues over, maybe, who may be completely new to this concept?
So working for a community project, right? So the library is not council run. It's a community charity that keeps a library open because the council tried to close it, right? So their mindset is they'll do anything. They'll just throw their hat into any ring that makes any kind of money or has potential to make money. And the benefit of working for the money's not in this job, you know, it's a charity. So the money's not there. However, they just let you do whatever you want. You know, basically you get trusted because it's a charity as well. You look after it because, you know, if you don't, it's not going to be there tomorrow.
Yes.
And they really just trust their staff to do what they want to do and you're passionate about, which you don't get if you work for corporations, and you don't get if I was a civil servant for 10 years before that, and managed a number of departments across London, and they would never have allowed anything so creative as this, you know. And that's why I ended up leaving, because I wanted to treat I worked for magistrates and judges, and I wanted to treat them as if they were fans. I wanted to engage them as if they were a fan base, and they didn't want to do that. They wanted to treat them as if they were staff, which is just not the way to go about your volunteers, essentially. If you don't know, magistrates are volunteers in this country. Anyway, so I didn't really have to explain it to the library because they were just like, away you go, you just do your thing. Because the library was closed, everyone was away, so
Yes.
that was it,
So
basically.
what kind of benefits have they seen then while you've been doing these live streams?
So we have kept engagement up. That was my main key. Was not really to raise money because we were furloughed and we couldn't raise any money. The idea was that we would be there for our community at a time they needed us, so that if a time later came that we would have that what credit? Social credit? Is that what
Yeah.
it's called? That they helped us keep the library open before by raising funds and stuff like that. So we owe it to our community to be there when they need us.
Yeah.
So we put on, I put on, I say we, it was me. So I put on the Daily Show. I got someone else to host it because I'm a little gothy kid and I don't really like other humans that much, hence wanting to live from the comfort of my own home. So I got someone who was a couple of ladies who are very keen on local community, our local singing tutor, and our local, she ran the comedy club in our library, and both of them host
Oh.
the thing. And Eleanor, who is the choir master, mistress, head of choir, I don't even know what the term for that is. She would interview all these people and their businesses, but she would buy their service. So she knew what she would buy it first and then talk to them about it, you know. And I wouldn't have done that because I wouldn't have
Yes.
had the money to do that. But because she was a singing teacher, all her work just went online and she couldn't take any more clients because people were very keen to learn to sing or
Yes.
all that. I forgot what the question was. I don't
No, so what were the benefits? And I think you've touched upon
Okay.
that capital, like, sorry, social credit, being there for the community. Obviously, you were able to collaborate with some, community influencers, so to speak, so that they could host the show.
Yeah.
What are the other benefits, maybe, that, because I think this is a really intriguing, right? You've got a community interest library in a local area.
Yeah.
Funding isn't necessarily there, but you've harnessed and used live streaming with a daily show. I love that because I wish I had seen that happening in my area, for example, because that would have been brilliant, a brilliant way of keeping the community together during lockdown. So yeah, what other kind of benefits have there been, I guess, to you personally as a technical producer now?
Well, first of all, the Daily Show, and with my own band daily live streams, I was able to fail quickly.
Yes.
Like just every day I would be building up a system, and I'm the kind of person that if the system's built, it just means I have to build more. I just never stop. I just, you know, it's like you put your camera on your desk so that your camera is always there. But you know, I have to build the lights in every day because
Yes.
this is a living room. This is, and someone else lives here, or else I would just make this into a live streaming studio, and that would be it. There wouldn't be anything else in this house. So I have to rebuild it and take it down. You know, pack it down every night and rebuild it every morning. And when you do
Yes.
that, you can add things and take away things and buy some lights and you know, and
Yes.
like the whole. This whole period has just been so awesome for technology in general. You know, this plenty of stuff on eBay. I'm sure people are selling off their extra gear because they're in financial problems because of the events industry is down.
Yes.
So I appreciate that. Thing is, if you're looking for gear, now is a great time to buy it because people are selling and the prices are fantastic at the moment.
Yes.
But the other benefit from the library side was that we did raise some money before I went on furlough beforehand, and now that we've come off furlough, we've raised more money for the library, and
See?
we are. So we've hit about £1,500 in just pure donation, maybe 2 grand actually. I think we did a show yesterday, and I think that a big West End show yesterday, and I think that just pushed us over the 2 grand of just pure donation has gone back to the library. But because of the live streams, we've won these Arts Council funding. So I actually am now in work. You know, the library can now take me off furlough. I'm back on to my, you know, part-time wage, and we are set now for the next 6 months. What happens after that, I don't know, because the library's not making enough money to sustain it.
Yes.
But the Arts Council funding will help all the staff stay in work for the next 6 months.
Yeah.
And we're also able to bring on artists. We have funding for artists. So we've got probably like 20 artistic projects of one form or another that we are paying them from the Arts Council Emergency Fund. And they're going to bring their artistic endeavors onto our live stream channel.
Yeah, that's brilliant. And then you can monetize those heavily.
Yeah, well, they're all donation, they're heavily donation based. So
yes,
every time they go, you know, every time that happens. So yeah, those are the benefits from it. And
yes,
you know, me personally, I can now watch other people's live streams and go, oh, that's wrong.
Yeah,
that's wrong. Because I also have a social media background, which I think the live stream production manager really needs to have a grasp of all things. Like you need to know camera, you need to know audio, you need to know lights. At least, like, you don't need a whole load of it, but you need some of it.
Yes.
You know, and you need social media, and you need to be in social media watching it change as it goes. Like, I'm sure you must have come across this, but Facebook has moved so fast
since
lockdown happened, right? It has changed pretty much everything it's doing. It is trying to steal the gaming audience away from Twitch, and it could be quite successful in that because Twitch has so many limitations. It's so good, but also so many limitations.
Yeah.
And Facebook excels at what Twitch is limited with, but we can
go
into that another day.
No.
And it's just so much. And now with the new Facebook that they're trying to push on me, you know, every time I open Facebook,
I know,
new thing. And the back end doesn't work for live streaming. You know,
no.
I do shows where I'm live streaming to multiple Facebook channels, Facebook official pages at once, and the new system doesn't allow it. It's not making it easy. I did a show last night, and we had an intro for a 40-minute intro because people around the world were coming in, and people were saying, where's the link, you know. So we went live early on the show, and now Facebook won't allow me to trim down that 40 minutes. I'm just sitting here looking at it myself, and I'm like, oh, what's going on?
Yes.
So I did it last night, and it had a 40-minute intro, and just, you know, come on, Facebook.
Yes, yeah. But I think we're going to see companies really speed up on this, because I saw recently Spotify are trying to get into the virtual event game. You know, I think now a lot of existing platforms, as you've alluded to, are now looking at those opportunities and seeing how much more live streaming is happening, or streaming of any kind for that matter, and thinking about how they can optimize their functions and features, and forming collaborations really with other companies or brands to do that really well.
Yeah, but like with the band side, there's Bands in Town, which is a really good app to tell you when you've got stuff in, and then they flipped to live streaming on Twitch pretty much overnight, and they have hundreds of thousands of followers on the Twitch channel overnight.
Yeah,
but they will not stream bands that have less than 200 followers.
Okay.
Oh, 2,000. It might be 2,000 followers. It's quite a large number. So I can create better band live streams than half the people they have on there, I'm not able to live stream because I don't have 2,000 followers.
Yeah.
No, and I've already got 180. The band's pretty new. It's only like 3 years old. So, you know, I just don't have that kind of, and I'm just terrible at publicizing myself as well. You know, I'm so bedded in, oh, I have to get this right. I have to try and get three cameras on, and I have to get these animations to overlay on top of my band stuff.
Yes.
So by the time I've done all that, you know, it's time to go live, and then I haven't publicized anything at all, and I've not even sent out a tweet or anything. And I've been, foolishly, I don't even know why I thought about this, right? I've been taking, like, publicity photos with my crap phone, right? Just because, you know, I'm in a hurry, and I'm just like, oh, I'll just take a thing for Instagram. And this phone's terrible. I mean, it's a great phone, but the camera's just
not great. Yeah.
I don't need it, right? But I'm sitting here with a DSLR Canon camera that I'm live streaming from, so why aren't I taking photos with that? And then, you know, that only came into my mind like a week ago. Well, I've got this good camera. Why don't you take photos on that and send those to Instagram? because I'm just that, you know, you just, there's so much to think about and you don't think, you just don't think.
No, but do you know what? I think, you know, it's been brilliant talking to you, Galina, because I really wanted to have you on the show, because I think what we're seeing is there's loads of people from other, who might well be doing events or have a background in the events industry, but it's that collective accumulation of digital knowledge and experience that is really coming into handy, and then being creative and innovating within the circumstances and resources that you have to be able to, you know, reach new people, build communities, sell or raise money. Like, that is what we're seeing happening right now, which I think is absolutely brilliant. So what's next for you, Galina? You know, we're now like 5-6 months into lockdown, you know, in fact in some areas it's kind of lifting, you know, where, what do you have kind of in mind in terms of all the skills that you've learned with live streaming so far?
So on the library side, we are planning to have the library become a live stream YouTube video creation makerspace. We don't have it.
Obviously, oh, I love that.
We don't have a name for it, right? But yeah. We did a show last night called Finding Wonderland, where we had West End singers singing Disney songs, basically.
Yes.
And I put in a green screen, and with one decent camera and one crap GoPro and this web camera, we had three different stages, one's band, one presenters, and one green screen. And then the singers sang in the green screen with overlays on top of them. So if they were supposed to be in a forest, it's Pocahontas or whatever, then they have foresty things.
Yes.
And we had, you know, the octopus woman from Little Mermaid, so I made her an octopus body and what that she could just like float around in and stuff.
Yes.
So we're going to use that to show that the library can be used as a space for live stream production. So
yes.
In my mind, me specifically, I do not have room in this tiny, tiny flat. We don't even have another room I could go into. I have to be in my living room. I can't set it up as the live stream studio that I'd like to play gigs from, you know,
yes.
As a band. So if I can, well, I can go to the library and use their small conference
space.
Room.
Yeah.
Put up the green screen. I can put in the stage lights because we have theater stage lighting available there, with lighting desks and all sorts of stuff. And then, you know, and do a better gig, a live stream gig from there. But when I talk about live stream gigs, it's not a gig, it's a live stream, which is very different, you know.
Yeah.
It's not, I don't just stand up there and play a 30-minute set without speaking to anybody, you know. It's like you play a song, you have a chat, you play a song, you have a chat, you know.
Yes.
All this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So we really want the, I don't know, we're a bit, it's so early that we have no idea how we're going to make that profitable for the library, because we now have the gear, but you can't just hand over, you know, your brand new Mac and, you know, it's like the Canon AX40, or I can't remember what the, I'm just no good with remembrance. You know, and I, like, you'd have to have an engineer there to run the tech, which
yes.
kind of removes the live stream, the why live streaming is so good, because it's supposed to be cheap and something you can do from home and you can be creative with. But if you have to then hire the library space to do it in, you know, you could, if you're doing an hour on Twitch, that could end up costing you 50-60 quid, you know.
Yeah.
It's the library's gear. So really, maybe it's the YouTube videos that really matter, where they come in and they use our good camera and we can make the white room white, you know. You can use green screen to just white out the space and then just do whatever you want, you know. Maybe that's the where the money will be made. I just don't know, you know, because like, you'd have to get a volunteer engineer for the library to make any money out of that, but then how many volunteer engineers are going to want to do that?
Yeah, sure. Well, this will be a time where people start innovating new business models. And I think, you know, one of the things we talk a lot about at Event Mine is collaboration. So I think there's opportunities probably for people to collaborate, to kind of reignite their own business, or at least the financial viability of the service that they offer, as well as the overall economy, really. So I'm excited to see where you guys go from there. I just thought it was a brilliant, first of all, to meet you. It was incredible to meet you. Somebody else doing technical kind of production, but also that experience that you've had with the library and how you really kept that community alive by leaning into live streaming during what has been a very difficult time for a lot of people. So thank you so much, Galina, for joining us today. All of your details will be in the show notes for everyone to make contact with you.
Amazing, amazing. I think on the band side, I think the one key actually from the whole lockdown thing for the band was that people did virtual events. And there's I do very specific geek oriented events, right? I usually play comic cons and stuff like that. And there's one weekender, it's called Sci-Fi Weekender. It's been going for years that I have been trying to get into as a live act, as in real life live act. And I've just never got through past the gatekeepers, never ever. But then they put on a virtual one this year, and a friend of mine put me in talks with them about helping them produce it.
Yes.
And then I got to play it, and then they've booked me for the in real life one next year in November.
And this is the kind of opportunity now that is coming people's way. You know, the skills that you have are invaluable for most industries, because what we see very often is that, you know, people don't know how to use the tech, they don't know how to get to grips with the tech. And so people like you have that competence with it, and also are willing to experiment and fail, right? Yeah. You know, that's how you learn. As you said, you went from four screens back down to two. You know, there's all of that kind of what's the word, that it's just experimenting and testing. Things go wrong, but you learn from those situations. So I love to hear that, you know, being able to kind of reach the gatekeepers in the end, and then there you are, more opportunity.
Yeah. And also I used that one, they had a huge following, a very active following, and it was on Twitch. So I basically used that to become a Twitch affiliate overnight.
Brilliant. So
I had zero followers on Twitch, and then that one show played out in front of like 600 people. And
yes.
Just got enough people. I think I had like 100, I probably hit 100 followers in that one show.
See? Brilliant.
Then that makes Twitch something you can make money on. So I make money on Twitch. Not a lot, but we're getting, I mean, we're only in a couple of months. So
yeah, but it's all starting somewhere, you know, and I love the fact that you've even, you know, I just think it was a brilliant, brilliant experience to share with our listeners who, you know, I think people need to see and hear more examples of people who are you know, creating new pathways in this situation. So thank you, Galina. We shall be catching up, no doubt, I'm sure, again.